everybody. This is Dr. Missy Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel, and I've got to get my Facebook up and running real quick here. Just give me 1 second. It didn't work, actually, so I had to put it in now. Give me 1 second. I'll get it up. Get Facebook up and running. So, anyway, I hope you guys are having a great Friday. See if I can get this up and running. And if not, we'll just take off on YouTube. But happy Friday. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Anyway, happy Friday. We're going to get going anyway. Hope you guys are having a great Friday. Hope you've had a great week. It's kind of quiet today. So we're going to go ahead and get going, and I'll just upload that another way. So anyhow, what is the Lord saying to you today? What is the Lord saying to you today? A lot of things going on. It seems quiet, but really behind the scenes, things are hopping and popping. I really, really believe, too, that the Lord is waiting for his body to step up into position. And a lot of people are saying, well, what do I do? What do I do? You know, what is God expecting me to do? Well, grow up, for one. Get delivered, for two. And everybody's like, well, I get healing. I spend time with God. I do that. You know, they have that every month at my church. We have that every 2 weeks. But that's not what he's calling us to do right now. He's calling us to get free, because the problem in the body is that the body has stayed mature. They didn't know any better. And a lot of the leaders aren't preaching or teaching about it, because deliverance is something they've kept off in a back corner of the church for years. And so a lot of the church has stayed on the lower sides of the mountain, and they haven't grown. And so now we're facing these really big conundrums, and a lot of people don't know what to do about it. And people are saying, hey, stand up. Let's do something. Let's pray this, or da, 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 da. But the old prayers aren't working anymore. And now they're running around in desperation, running after the prophets with itchy ears, and trying to expect the prophets to solve all their issues, when we're not waiting on God anymore. God's waiting on us. And so today's 15-minute revs actual title is going to be Maintaining Trust, Resisting Ungodly Building, and Know the Voice. Do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you know when he's speaking to you through a speaker, even on YouTube, or in me, or even, you know, whoever you're listening to behind the pulpit? Do you recognize the small, still voice? And does it change you? Does the Lord in that vessel, is the anointing changing your life? Are you growing up? Because that's the place that we're all being forced to face for where we're walking right now. Which witchcraft hitting you with in this hour, Frontrunner, as we step deeper into C1, trying to navigate our way through, out of the old into the new? I've noticed, to me, this is what seems to be going on, is that the frontrunners that have been obedient and doing what God has told us to do in past seasons, and, you know, gotten the deliverance and stuff like that, should be facing a lot of headwinds, even right now, even in C1. It started early. It's never ended from last year, and it's even gotten hotter, if you want to know the truth. But we should be facing a lot of headwinds, a lot of fire, in that they know that if we break through the Lord, through the Lord in our lives, what happens is that all it takes is one of you to break through, and you break the whole body through. So they're throwing everything at us in the kitchen sink. But the only thing that's going to stop that is your growth and your maturity. That's what God's saying. Do you know how to use the courtrooms of heaven? Do you know how to pray on the newest level that God has the frontrunners operating on right now, or most mature saints in the Lord? Or are you still using binding and loosening techniques, expecting, you know, petition prayers to solve your issues? Are you still running back to Egypt thinking that's going to solve the problem? Because if you haven't noticed, I mean, a lot of people aren't seeing a whole lot of changes. And so unless you're staying in position with the Lord. And so witchcraft in this hour, they're putting spells on the minds of the saints. They're trying to make you quit. They're trying to make you give up. They're trying to make us distracted. They're trying to make us lethargic. They're trying to make us seemingly, we're tired of dealing with the same old, tired of listening to the word, tired of listening to the prophets. We're tired of it. We're just tired of it, frustrated. So again, it's up to you to press through all that and press your way out of the old into the new and stay connected to the anointing, staying connected, listening to the prophets, doing your own research with regard to different topics of the day so that you know how to pray, hopefully in the courts, so that you're used by God and you're becoming a force to be reckoned with instead of just somebody else they don't have to worry about anymore. Which brings us to the topic of the hour when we get stuck in our building process. It's based on Genesis 31 through Genesis 31:16, and it talks about the building process when we think we're in control. And Jacob actually thought that he was in control in the situation, but when in reality, it was all in the hands of God. It was in the hands of God. And just like in our current situation where God has spoken through his prophets and now it's up to the American people around the world to pray God's way, not our own way, not man's way, but God's way. And for the believer, you know, this is wonderful to know that we're in the hands of God as well. But in this hour, we have too many people involved in our lives or too many voices that we're listening to for advice or counsel or prophetic utterance. And it's got everybody on overload emotionally and spiritually because there are so many voices clouding the airways now and nobody really knows who is who. They're not able to discern who is who and who they're listening to because they're so used to trusting and so used to, you know, just follow after this voice. So-and-so says to listen to so-and-so because if you listen to so-and-so, they're hearing the word of God, but you haven't looked for the fruit in their heart. You don't even know whether they're really God's child. You don't know what's going on or really whether or not that voice you're listening to is guiding you down the right path or not. So there's a lot of voices out there, but not a whole lot of people speaking the truth. Not a whole lot of people speaking the truth. And then there's the process of trying to understand, you know, God's ways and understanding God's timing and whether or not you're operating in the right time. Okay, are you in God's clock? Are you in the zodiac? Are you in the devil's heart, the devil's clock? Whose heart are you operating in? Whose voice are you listening to? We can become so used to listening in the spirit that we become too familiar with it. And we think that we're hearing the Lord without learning to test the spirit behind the voice. And then hence we're walking in a wrong pathway. So this is where it's important to have a prophetic voice that really, really does hear the Lord. Their proven voice that's having their words come to pass, for one. That's when you know a true prophet. But if you understand how God operates, first of all, you're going to know to run to God first. You're not running to anybody else's voice, not man's voice. You're running to him first. Because if you're listening to God first above any other voice in the atmosphere, whether it's the news, whether it's a prophetic prophet, I don't care who you're listening to online, on YouTube, me, whoever. I would expect you to run to him first. Don't run to me. I can't fix your world. He can. I can't. So we're having to learn in this hour, I believe what God is saying. And he's wanting to force man on their knees, but also in prayer, but to run to him first. He wants us to come to him for the news. Come to him to find out what's going on in our world. Come to him. Nobody else but him. And to have a prophetic voice then come after him and what he shows you through your quiet time with him, that prophetic voice is then used to confirm God's will in our life and confirm the way in which we're to walk. So he's breaking us off of dependence on the prophets. The prophets are great. If you listen to the prophets, you're blessed. But the ultimate prophet was Jesus Christ. So if you're dependent upon man over God, you're easily led astray. You're easily duped. Because most likely you've got itchy ears. And then the second you lose that sense of being entertained, like you like your cell phone to do, and we gather from TV entertainment and whatnot, once the new wears off, then we're off to the next thing that entertains us. God's not here to entertain us. God is here to help us mature and grow up. He's here to help us grow up. And so people that refuse or who don't learn to run to God first and listen to that small, still voice first and learn what God is saying about a situation live very confusing lives. Have you noticed that? They get very little breakthrough, but they have very confusing lives in that the confusion or the cause of confusion and the chaos in their lives is because they're codependent on people or on people pleasing instead of God pleasing, caring too much about what other people think. So they've never learned to trust God and what he says. And when he does speak, they're not even sure whether they're hearing him or not. And they're not even sure whether he's listening to their prayers or not, because they're not sure what voice they're listening to. Do you know which voice you're listening to? Because God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. Okay? Pardon me. So in this hour, witchcraft is behind all the confusion. That's its main objective. Witchcraft is sent in to create the confusion, and confusion through many sources or voices, whether it be online or in the church. Now, this is where the conversation gets very, very interesting, because those voices causing the confusion are serving the enemy and his purposes, and some without even knowing it. How is that? Have you ever found that person who always has an opinion into your situation or your life? They always have to voice that opinion, and they always think that you owe them the right to have your ear. Have you ever met that person before? They don't know when to shut up. Their mouths are like waterfalls, and everybody drowns because they don't know when to stay silent. But they've got an opinion, and you owe it to them to listen to their opinion. Yours doesn't matter. It's all about them. But these are the voices causing the confusion. These are the voices causing the confusion. Witchcraft voices thinking they're doing God a favor by praying or speaking. By the way, when they pray for you, they're praying amiss. It's called witchcraft prayers. Or making evil decrees against their true brothers and sisters. And by the way, they're not really your brother and sister if they're praying that way. That's carnal prayer. That's carnal Christianity. That's Jezebel, Ahab, i.e. witchcraft. Continuing to do what's right in their own eyes, refusing to look at their own heart condition so that actually God could clean it up and heal them so they might get their prayers answered. And then they have all this advice for everybody else around them without really realizing that they're the ones with the problem. And everybody thinks that. And when you come in and you tell them the truth about their heart condition, because you sense those witchcraft prayers and you sense Jezebel operating. Hello, Jezebel is the spirit of manipulation and control. That's a person that has a problem, and their internal life is chaotic. It's crazy. It's confusing. So they think that by controlling people on the outside of them is going to give them some sense of control. What do we see happening in the world right now with regard to all these different crazy train mandates and stuff that are going on? That's Jezebel. Majorly Jezebel. People needing to be in control of other people. And they have zero control of their own emotions and their own life, which is amazing to me. But these are the types of people we're also dealing with in the church. People thinking they're doing God a favor. And then behind the scenes, they're praying in agreement with the devil, making evil decrees, which they don't realize is going to happen to them in the end. By doing what's right in their own eyes leads to their own destruction, because they're breaking so many spiritual laws along the way based on Galatians 6:7. What's Galatians 6:7? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So nobody ever gets away with anything in this life. So this is why in this hour, God's saying, you only pray, you only say what you hear your Father in heaven saying. That's why you have to run to him first. Run to him first, because all it takes is one word from God to change your life. One word. That's all. Kairos, whatever. One word. And like Jacob, you know, in this incident, Jacob was actually so used to being a schemer. If you've never read the story of Jacob, he was a huge schemer, man. Always doing what was right in his own eyes. And he thought he could handle all the chaos around him that he was beginning to create, by the way, because he was listening to so many opinions. Opinions who were manipulating him, by the way. Even his own mother. His own mother created such a bloodline curse because, and it was prophesied that the second born would carry the blessing because he was called to a priestly calling, but Jacob thought he had to build it himself. His mother was so consumed that her son was not going to get the blessing. So she manipulated her husband to give the blessing to her second born instead of the firstborn, which is what a lot of Christians, supposed Christians, get caught up in. They're so afraid they're not going to get theirs. Have you ever met that person? Even in the world, whether it's in your job, wherever, they're so afraid they're not going to get their part or their portion that they manipulate and they scheme their way through life, whether it's in church, whether it's in a job, in your family, you label it. They're so afraid they're not going to get theirs or what they feel they're entitled to. It's a spirit of entitlement. So they manipulate, and they manipulate people. They manipulate situations. They manipulate power politically. In jobs, they manipulate situations, you label it emotions, preying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on people's weaknesses so they can get what they think that they want. But the saddest part of Jacob's life was that he was always being manipulated by other voices, and even sadder was the fact that he never recognized how those voices were using him to accomplish their will instead of God's. Are you one of those people? You're constantly duped by other people and they're preying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on you or your weaknesses or unhealed areas because you don't know how to hear the way, the truth, and the life, the true voice of the living God. You're hearing every other voice but him. Duped by their heart condition, by the wolves in sheep's clothing that are encroaching around you. Is that you? Do you know how to test the spirit? 1 John 4:3. Spirit that gave me that thought, or spirit that said that through this person, do you believe Jesus Christ came in the form of a man, died on a cross, rose from the dead in 3 days, and that Jesus Christ is God? The Lord is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll answer you immediately with a yes. If you get a pause or no answer, it's usually the devil. Bind the voice, bind the lying spirits or the mouth gates or whatever, bind them. Loosen the true voice of the true and living God. And then ask the question again. You'll get an answer right away. You'll know the truth and which way you're supposed to walk. But in this hour, because there's so much witchcraft in the atmosphere, and it's not even going to get better. It's going to get worse, by the way, as we move in through C2, which is the fiery part of God's heart. That's where witchcraft is the highest in the season. As we move through each year, it's usually from April 30th through August 31st, or I even go further to say September 15th. But it's going to get even harder. And if you don't learn how to do these things, you're going to get duped. You're going to be deceived. So you have to learn this now. You especially have to learn it now. The other problem that we're dealing with, hello, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you're anointed by God, have you ever had someone be drawn to your vessel because of the anointing on your vessel? Most people are drawn to the anointing, by the way. But if their hearts are wrong, if their hearts are devious, then they don't really have an anointing on their vessel. So this is how the devil hijacks your anointing. If you're an intercessor or a frontrunner, especially, frontrunners usually have high-level anointings, for one. So everybody wants to tag on to that. They want to touch that. But the enemy, through witchcraft, it's a term called tag lock connecting. That's why I say tag on to that. The enemy wants to tag on because their gifts aren't strong. The only way that they can get their gifts to work, or a fake prophet or a fake intercessor with no anointing gets their gifts to work, is to come alongside of a true prophet or a true anointing. And then they get that connection to God. It's called hijacking because they aren't willing to do the work that God's called them to do to get what God wants to give to them. So they use people like you when you've paid the price to walk where you're walking, and they pray with you because the Lord on your life enhances their fivefold giftings. And then they hijack your gifts. But in the process of that, That spirit of Jezebel always rears its head. It never can hide itself. Because it's always Jezebel behind those types of actions, manipulation and control. And so they try to start pushing their own agenda, not God's. Have you ever met those types of people before? I can't stand those types of people. I'm sorry, I can't. I think they're users. And it's just the sad state of the church at present, because there are so many people, again, vying for power without realizing that only God instills, puts people up or pulls people down. But trying to attain your own power is really fruitless, because without God building it, your house is being built on the sand, or your self-promotion is only leading to embarrassment through failure. It's not going to stand. It's not built on the rock. So anything you build with your prayers, anything you build with your decrees in those hours or in those times of prayer won't stand when the time of fulfillment comes. Those houses, lives, prayers, decrees are built on the sand instead of the rock. So when the time of fulfillment or the fruition of beautification over a vessel comes, meaning the fullness of time, your time. Remember when Jesus told his mom, "Woman, depart from me. My hour is not yet come." It wasn't his time. He knew it wasn't his time to step into his calling. He was fulfilling the preparation of the calling by trying to minister to disciples that were crossing his path during those moments. But he knew that the actual thing that God had placed him into the earth to do, it wasn't time for that to happen yet. Being hung on a cross wasn't time to happen yet. So, but these types of vessels that try to force fulfillment or force God to allow them to do what they think that they want to do, which is fill a structure with his glory, hello, they get embarrassed because what they're operating in is witchcraft. Have you ever wondered why so many dreams don't come to pass? Or so many people quit on God? I know that sounds discouraging in one sense, but in the other sense, it's really, really true. Because if you don't know what voice you're listening to, you're building with the wrong carpenter. And if God didn't build the things that are coming out of your mouth, and you're trying to manipulate those things into existence, you're the only carpenter that's working. God's not building alongside of you. It's why man, and it's also why Jacob struggled, because he was always scheming with God and man, trying to force his own way, as well as trying to allow the agendas of everybody around him to work through him. It was never God's will. It was always Jacob's will, Jacob's desires. So he was building things on the sand continually, which were continually failing. Don't you ever get tired of failing? Unless you're staying in alignment with God. So until Jacob was forced to wrestle with God, the God of truth, was God able to wrestle the truth right out of him, or Jacob's version of truth? And God literally had to break his hip. And from that point on, Jacob's life was changed, because he came into God's truth of what love said truth was. Do you live by your own version or your own reality of who you think God is? Do you make up the truth as you go along? Justifying, hey, Misty, justifying, you know, your own bad behaviors. Are you one of these types? Because God is, we're in the hour where judgment's here. God is judging everything. He's judging everything that's built on the rock and everything that's built on the sand. And anything that's built outside of his commands or outside of his will is falling in this hour. And you may not be seeing it yet, but I see it a whole lot with regard to all the new revelation that's coming forth from true prophets. I mean, everybody's saying the same thing. And so Jacob, until he had obtained God's heart, was fulfilling his own mandate, not God's. And until God wrestled with him and had him step into all truth by getting real with himself, getting honest with himself, so that God could change his character. Hello, that's what God's about. Is he's about us obtaining his heart, his integrity, his spirit, his character, so that we can walk in all truth and fulfill God's mandate. And believe me, not everybody around you is going to be happy for you when you do it. Take Laban, for example, who is another con artist. Con artist, that's a good way of saying that. We have a lot of con artists today. Taking advantage of people. Taking advantage of who God says he is and always trying to force their version, their perverted version of who they think God is versus who God says he is and who love says he is. So, always scheming, forcing their will upon another. And scheming occurs with other vessels around us who are usually religious, and I even say evil, determined to follow their own ways instead of God's. They hate the truth. And these vessels usually carry that type of manipulation because that means eventually, you know, they think they're going to get their way, but in reality, they're fixing to be exposed for who they really are. Ephesians 5:11. When the wickedness is exposed, the sins of the wicked are exposed. So they create ungodly structures around innocent people. Have you ever had somebody who's always praying witchcraft prayers over you? Or always praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, praying on you, and you're sensing them by the Spirit. When you get around them, they're irritated by your presence. They're irritated just by you, period. But really who they're irritated by is Christ in you if you're operating in love. They can't stand the presence of a holy God because he irritates them. So they're really not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. And when you get around them, they always find things that are wrong with you. There's always something wrong with you, but they never look at themselves. Have you ever found that out? I mean, have you ever encountered people like that at work or especially in church? And so they don't know how to deal with the true love of Jesus Christ operating on his vessels because they've never had it. They've never operated in it. And people can't give what they don't have. They can't. So your expectations are going to be disappointed over and over and over again if you keep expecting this characteristics of God's spirit from somebody who doesn't house his spirit. And you're not recognizing the voices that are speaking to you through them, which are usually demonic. So, this is everything we're dealing with as a church right now. And they cause these people, though, when they pray for you, they create a lot of heartache because they always are vying for their own agenda instead of God's. And just like Jacob's dealings with Laban, she was Rachel's uncle. Laban's real motive in this hour, when he was dealing with Jacob, his motive was to steal, kill, and destroy. Whose agenda does that sound like? He was trying to undermine Jacob and make him poor. But God had already overruled him, and God had determined to make Jacob rich. So everything Laban tried turned to mush. And he got more and more frustrated because he was operating in a different spirit outside of love. We can try, and this is what's funny. This is where the conversation to me gets hilariously funny. Because we can try all day long. And by the way, I've been dealing with this in my own ministry, in my own life. God, for 30 years, maybe even longer, where people try to think that they're going to usurp the will of God over somebody else's life. I've seen it in church where people try to undermine. They slander God. You can label it anything the devil has to throw at you. They think that they're going to overthrow God. And I'm just like, I sit back and Lord's like, don't defend yourself. Okay. What do you want me to do about this? Nothing, nothing. Don't do anything. Let them make an ass out of themselves all by themselves. They're doing a terrific job. I'll even use an ass, says the Lord, just like I did Balaam's ass. Hi, Keisha. How are you? But that's the truth. So you don't defend yourself in these situations. You let these people like Laban, let them make a fool out of themselves like they're so good at doing. Because they do it all the time. They're going to continue to be that way until the end of time. But this is how good God is. God is so good. And these Labans never seem to get it. But God even blessed Laban because of Jacob. and because of God on Jacob's life. And after Jacob got his heart healed and delivered and quit scheming, then God blessed both men. And guess what? Laban woke up and realized where his blessings came from. He started realizing, because of the anointing on Jacob's life, now he could have had it if he would have chosen Jesus, but he could have had everything that God had given to Jacob, but he still wanted to do what he thought was right in his own eyes. This is where the church is at. So many people, 85%, still reacting instead of responding in their negative emotions, their unhealed areas. And then they get ticked off at voices like my own or whoever who are speaking truth and telling you, get your butt in deliverance ministry, get cleaned up. You wear the rest of us out. I mean, at least be willing to be willing. But Laban, had he actually been willing to be willing, gosh, there's no telling how much blessing he could have had. Have you ever met people like that? And then they get angry at people like you who are really, really blessed. Really, really blessed. And they watch the blessings flow in your life. And they watch you land on your feet every time because of Christ in you. Because you're obedient to the Lord. You keep walking and doing what he's telling you to walk and do. You're quick to repent like David. And you're a woman or a man after God's own heart. And so you're always staying aligned with him. You're always staying aligned. And there's so many people that are so, and I'll even go so far as to say they're very arrogant to think, oh, I'm aligned. But they're constantly reacting when they're driving. They're constantly telling people off in church or on the job or whatever, losing job after job after job, what have you. But they're reacting instead of responding in love and using, hello, the weapons of love. Love is a weapon. Peace is a weapon. Joy is a weapon. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, and mercy. What do you think all the fruit of the Spirit are for? Do you think God gave them to you for your health? He put them in you to start utilizing, to start operating in. And hello, when you start harnessing the ability to operate in these weapons, guess what else you do? You start maintaining your position in love. You start maintaining your position in Christ. And so, when we react to different situations or when we try to play our own God in our own lives by doing what's right in our eyes, we're in the lives of others. And our ability, because we're so unsure if we're hearing God or not, and we refuse to run to him first, maybe because of mistrust of God or disappointment in people, mistrust of people, that's when we get duped. That's really when we get duped. And it really, really is a hard place. I mean, right now, we don't really have another choice but to grow up in the Spirit. We don't have a choice. I don't know if you've looked at the circumstances surrounding us right now, but the only way to overcome is to grow up. I don't know if you've looked at your current situations, and I'm not going to say what I think that they are because I'm an optimist. And I believe what the Lord told me. I believe that the Lord has got a great plan, that he's going to overcome. But I'm not going to be quick to run to people because everybody's got an opinion. Have you ever heard of that analogy? I'm not going to finish it. It's kind of crass, but everybody seems to have an opinion about everything these days. And I don't want to get caught up in all the voices in the airways. And matter of fact, it's interesting, like the last couple months, like I still track with the prophets and stuff, but I'm finding myself kind of tucked away in my own time and just seeking the Lord, just with him. Yeah, so let me just tell you about that. That's a great point, Keisha. Fear, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, depression, hopelessness, and despair. Guess what those are all seven red flags of? Witchcraft, strike it down, Job 36:32. So when you get into these negative emotions, because God's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. If anything is good, if anything is pure, if anything is lovely, the Lord says, think on these things. So if any negative emotion hits my spirit, man, or hits my mind, I'm usually an optimist. I really, really pretty much stay in joy pretty much the majority of the time. So if anything contrary to that hits me, I know it's not God. God doesn't want us focusing on anything negative. He said, I've got your world. I've got the whole world in my hand. He truly does. That sounds like a cliche, but no, he's either who he says he is, or he's the biggest liar that ever walked. He's not a liar. God's not a God that should lie. He finishes what he starts. He knows the end from the beginning. The problem between point A and point Z is, do you trust him? Or are you, or have you grown reliant upon man to the point that they've disappointed you so much? Because we will. We're all human. We all have flaws, right? We're all in transformation. We're all on a journey. Hopefully, if we know the Lord, we're sojourners. But we will let you down. And so we can't put our faith in each other because I'm not your God. You're not my God. I don't have a supernatural ability except what flows through me to you. And it's not me. It's him. I give him full credit. But I don't have the ability to change your world. He does. So when you lose focus on that truth and you start putting your focus on people around you, you bring your focus down to the horizontal level instead of keeping it vertical, you've automatically lost the war. You've got to get your focus back, which is what happened with Jacob. So I see so many people because of this mindset, by the way. I see it all the time. Where so many people seem to be abusing power because they're so locked into this horizontal focus. They've put their focus on man. They've lost their ability to discern the voice or the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Now, let me tell you something else about him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When we're called to a new level and you think, oh, God's left me. Where did he go? I'm not hearing him like I used to hear him. Could it be that he's pulled back intentionally? That's what he does at a new season. He draws back to force you to press in, to go higher. He's trying to see what you're going to choose to do. Are you going to get stagnant and stay on this level? Or are you going to press in and do whatever it takes, like maybe through fasting, maybe through more prayer time, maybe through, you know, keeping your appointments with him? Keep your appointments with God. You show up, he shows up. But I see so many people getting caught up in this fleshly focus that they're operating in what you could only expect them to operate in, disappointment. God, you didn't show up. Yeah, he is. He's moved on. The cloud moved on. You got stuck. You got stuck. And so because of the stuckness of so many people in the body of Christ right now, we're seeing a lot of abuse in prayer. We're seeing abuse in leadership. We're seeing abuse in people speaking over people. We're going to talk about words in a second, even in prayer, especially prayer. People getting involved in the lives of others and getting people on the wrong pathway because of word cursings and evil decrees. And if those vessels don't have a strong discernment, they can get into a wilderness wandering. You know what that is? Where you just wander and go nowhere for years and years because people speak in word curses. They're creating these demonic realities over you. You need to be breaking off all demonic realities, shattering them off with the hand of God, Exodus 15:6. You can dissolve them, James 4:14. I dissolve them over everybody on this thing right here. I dissolve all demonic realities over your life. We break them off. And I ask you, Father, to realign them on God's pathway with Psalms 133:1. You know, I don't care if you're starting a new job. I don't care if you're going to a new church, if you're in a new relationship. If you move to a new city, I don't know, you label that. But everything will always lose its luster. Even our walks with God sometimes, pardon me. Even our walks with God. And I'm not saying I'm not passionate about him. But you have to be mature enough in the spirit where you are in relationship with him or you've been in relationship with him long enough that you've developed that loyalty towards him and that commitment towards your love in your heart for him, that come what will, come what may, you're in it to win it. You're in it for the long haul. You're not here to be entertained anymore. You can't live without him. You really can't. This is why 85% of the body is stuck right now, because they've gotten stuck in their flesh. When the Bible states, again, if we listen to the prophets, we're blessed, but listening to God first is what helps you to overcome. So, run to God first. Don't get caught up in scheming. I don't care if you're a leader or a follower. Run to God first. And then believe Him. And then learn to wait on Him. Because we're in an unfolding process. That's part of the maturity process too. I always tell our people, I know we're 30, 40 minutes. Gosh, we are running a little bit. We're hitting the time. But I always tell our people, when you're learning to walk through a level in God, like every year, you hopefully are moving from faith to faith and glory to glory, right? Hopefully. So when you move into this new level in Christ, there's an unfolding process that begins to occur. It's part of your maturation process, okay? So what does that mean? What does that look like to you if you've never done this before? Well, it usually means it's going to require a lot of trust. And it's going to require you to continually seeking Him first every day, by the way, every day. You keep your appointment with Him every day to find out what His word is for that day. Okay, what do we need to do today, God? Because that's the only day He's given you, right? You don't know if you have tomorrow. So you follow Him every day. What do you want me to do today, God? Or, okay, and this is another kicker. This is a great way for you to overcome the enemy if you're not sure where you're walking. Psalms 37:23. God, order my footsteps today. Order me into all truth. Order all evil away from me. Order all Jezebels away from me. Ahabs, every evil thing. Order any plague away from me. Order danger away from me. Order me into blessing. Order me to the Lord's what's of you. Order me away from what's not of you. See that? That's a word for tonight. That's a word for right now. But the Lord says, Psalms 33:9, God commanded and it was so. So if you know how to find His truths and His nuggets and you're asking Him to lead you into all truth, He's going to lead you to what He needs you to hear for that day. And then you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together as you begin to walk forward in this unfolding process, and you begin to see God's vision for your life for that year. You begin to see what His plan is and where He's taking you. You get an overview perspective instead of just living off of bits and pieces and walking in confusion. So this is the part of trusting God. This is the part of trusting God that you have to have in your equation. Because God's going to have His way, whether you trust Him or not, believe it or not. You can stay stuck or you can keep coming with Him. He'll take you as far as your heart really wants to go. You can finish a lot while you're here on the earth, or you can start where you left off when you leave the earth, when you hit and you come into heaven, you go home to be with Him. You're gonna continue on in your learning process. But you can get a lot accomplished while you're here and just keep going into eternity and from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But for the religious Jezebelian heart, they're usually the ones that stay stuck because they think they know more than God. Which brings us to Matthew 10:1-23. If you start praying for laborers, beware, because you may become an answer to your own prayer. Don't expect anybody else to do your work for you. That's what that means. We're living in an hour right now where it's all hands on deck. And God's expecting us to step up and grow up, like I said, but also to show up and understand that it's He who calls us into position as leaders or sheep. We're some are called to be citizens of heaven, where others are called to be officers in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know who you are? Are you satisfied and content with who God made you to be? Or are you always trying to be someone you're not? Are you always trying to put yourself in positions you were not called to do? Creating more havoc, creating more stress on yourselves, more chaos for leaders. Because this is another problem in the church. And I'm not picking on the church. I'm just telling you what He gave me to say today. And some of these instructions even applied to the apostles. But the truth behind the message actually meant God calls And God equips. If he's called you, he's going to equip you. Whom God calls, he qualifies. So if anybody's trying to disqualify you because of that, they think that they know more about you than God knows about you, they might want to do a heart check. They might want to check themselves at the door and the level of pride that's operating around them. They're not your God. I see a lot of that in the church in this hour. Everybody thinks they're everybody's God. So if God has called us to do a certain thing, we don't have to worry about it coming to pass if we're obedient. The calling's protected for the obedient based on Acts 5:39. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourself fighting against God. So you can pray all the witchcraft prayers they want. They can do all this kind of mess. They're wasting their time, not yours. But just it's irritating. It's like a gnat that won't go away. They can make all the evil decrees that they want, or they can go into the courts of heaven and present as many actions that they want, but it will not stop the will of God. The same is true over our nation. Do you understand? If the enemy's out of time, everything's made beautiful in its own time. His clock's not going to be beautified. His time will not be beautified. Only God's will. That's another conversation for another day. Because if God didn't speak it, it has to fall to the ground. That's another weapon. Lamentations 3:37-38. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and evil go forth? He allows the evil to happen. He allows it all to exist. He created it all. So why should any living mortal or any man offer a complaint in view of his sins? Let's examine and probe our ways then, and let us return to the Lord. That's right. So when you find people in the church or through Wicca trying to destroy you or your ministry, know that either you really got a huge calling, or that God is just merely exposing the sins of that heart attacking you. Probably both. So it's not you that they hate. It's him. Don't take it personal. Because a true saved vessel that operates in the warm, unconditional love of Jesus recognizes the true, warm love of Jesus on other vessels. The Spirit bears witness with the Spirit. These people came to cause harm or to hinder or to commit treason. But true love wants to edify and encourage and set free. There's no scheming in true love. It doesn't try to make its own way. It just trusts the Lord. Because true love trusts God in all things. And true love is a heart that receives the true prophets and the word of God, whether in correction or direction when it comes forth. So if God calls you, he's going to equip you, and people will know that because they recognize the truth coming forth on your vessel. You don't have to prove it to anybody. You don't have to go tout your own horn or defend yourself. You don't have to. The will of God does not send you where the grace of God cannot keep you. You ever heard that analogy? So the Lord's saying, rest easy, warrior. Rest easy, front runner. God's got you. You ever heard of the 10th commandment? They made a joke. And I've heard, this is an analogy that I heard about the 11th commandment that comes into place. It says, thou shalt not sweat it. Don't sweat it. Quit sweating the small stuff. Quit trying to pick your battles. Pick your battles is what I'm trying to say. When men hate you or persecute you or spitefully try to harm you, they can't touch you without God's permission. You've got too much grace upholding you in all things that it can never be taken away. So their actions are fruitless. Absolutely fruitless. Let them wear themselves out trying. You continue staying focused with God. Which brings me to Psalms 12:1-8. When you're feeling alone. How many people feel alone right now with where we're walking? Because David had the same experience, and he was seeing that the foundations of godly structures were looking like they were failing. Because Christians refused to grow up and get free. They thought it was just business as usual and that God was going to do it for him so that they could get back to living their lives like they had done in the past, but not in this season. Not in this season. This is a very, very different time that we live in right now, where God's saying, I've done everything I'm going to do on the cross. The rest is up to you. I'm waiting for you to show up and grow up. I'm waiting for you to stand up and come up to the high places, seated beside me in heavenly places. Colossians 3:1-3. You know what that means? That means learning to war from a very, very high position. What is the high position in this hour? Learning about the courts of heaven. Go check out Ron Horner if you want to learn about that. Phenomenal man of God. Go check him out. Ron Horner Ministries. Pure-hearted. He's good. And he'll tell you the truth. He's not deceived. He operates in extreme truth. And he's also a man of mercy. But he's the truth. He tells the truth. And he'll encourage you. But it seemed in that hour like the godly remnant was getting smaller and smaller, and David was feeling very, very much alone. And it appeared to David that godliness was on the decline because of the way people were speaking when he would listen to them. What does that mean? He was hearing proud words, words about the I, me, my mind, self-focused words, instead of team-oriented words spoken in humility, or words that pointed hearts towards the truth that God was the one who flowed through their vessels and did the miracles, not man. Not man. We can't take any credit for what God does. It's not us. And then he heard oppressive words or words that cursed or tore down, not words that edified and encouraged. He heard words of disrespect and dishonor instead of words that honored God and the vessels around themselves. Do you realize that when people, this is something I love about the military, by the way. This is why I love the military. My dad was in the military, but I loved it because it taught us to work as a team. It taught us that we weren't lone islands in and of ourselves. It taught us self-respect and to respect the boundaries of other people. There are certain things you never said to people, certain things you never considered doing to people. Let alone thinking, you know, you'd catch yourself because you were expected to expect the best of people, expect the best of a holy God, because that's what love does. Love expects the best of God, even when things look like they're crumbling. You want me to go there, Lord? Hey, James, do you realize, you know, there was a point in, thank you, Lord, I will go there. I said it in one of my prior broadcasts. If you haven't ever read about the Battle of Bastogne, in World War II, okay, so things were changing, but it didn't look like it to the men on the battlefield because they didn't know everything that was going on behind the scenes. But the Battle of Bastogne was one of the last parts of the war in World War II where our troops were in the forest, and I want to say it was right out, it was in a forest outside of Bastogne, but they were surrounded on seven fronts by German soldiers, seven different pathways. And the Germans were determined to take those pathways. They had to, because the Germans knew they were losing the war. The enemy knew he was losing the war. And so this goofy general, this German general, my family's German, I really shouldn't say we're goofy, but they sent word over to this American general and they said, you need to surrender. You need to give it up because we've won. We've won. We're going to beat the tar out of you and we're fixing to start smoking your guys, like killing them all. And the only word that the general sent back to that German general was the word nuts in quotations, which basically meant GTH. So he was telling them where to go. And they were like, what? And it baffled the German general. So long story short, that group of men in those foxholes in the forest started pressing their way forward. And they were entrenched in the forest and they were taking so much fire. But when they set their mind to winning, and this is the message for us right now before I go on, they set their mind to winning because they were determined to prove the good, the pure, and the lovely, that goodness always wins. And goodness always does win. God will always win in any situation we're facing. You will always win if you're seeking him first. But they started hammering them back and hammering them back. And guess what? They won the Battle of Bastogne. And it was in despite impossible circumstances. They won. And going back to David, when you're able to discern what type of communication you're listening to, because we live in an age of high-level communication where there's so many voices, and we're able to discern the truth from a lie. Are those words being communicated to you God's will or man's will? Are they for man's agenda from a schemer only trying to use your naivety for their own manipulative ends? Are they really God's will and where he's telling you to go? Are you able to test the spirit? 1 John 4:3. Because God's word is pure, it's proved, it's true, and it leads you down the right pathway. It never passes away. As should the heart who speaks it. We should be operating in the good, the pure, and the lovely, which gives us an ability to depend on it. And it proves the motives of man. It proves the truth. Whose will is coming to pass? That's what you should be looking for. If man's words aren't coming to pass, you need to find a new voice. You need to find somebody who's really hearing the voice of the Lord. And that doesn't mean that there's another determining factor with regard to that when I'm talking about the unfolding process. I know we're going a little bit over. But when you're learning about the unfolding process of God, which we're learning about right now as a nation, sometimes there's a waiting time. We all live, and this is per Kenneth Copeland, this one little snippet. We live by a season of seed plus time equals harvest. Okay? So the seeds are planted by the true prophets. Now you're entering into the test of time, which is the unfolding process. You go and God moves you from faith to faith and glory to glory. You start taking God every day. He gives you a word every single day for that day. You've only got today to worry about. Gives you fresh manna for that day. And then you walk forward after he tells you to do for that day. And then after you've come into all fullness, or your faith has been grown to the place where it equals God's for that breakthrough, that's where harvest comes in. That's where harvest breaks through. It's part of the unfolding process, and we have to learn how to do that if we're going to live in the times we're living in. You've got to learn to move with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He's not doing it for us. He'll meet you right when you have a need to encourage you so you don't quit. But it's up to you to show up and grow up from this point on. Which leads us to Proverbs 3:13-15, where it talks about, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Blessed is the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Are you able to, you know, when you get into a storm or you're getting into your emotions, that's what usually causes it. Are you able to force yourself to refocus on him? Usually by putting on praise, putting on the word, whatever it takes for you to get back in the spirit. Do you bounce back easily? Or do you just stay stuck there and you just keep spiraling downward until you're in a real quagmire? Because in this hour too, that's another aspect of love, is that love is patient. It knows how to wait on God. It's kind. It expects the best. It believes all things. It knows that God in the end prevails. We're not expecting the worst of a holy God. I'm expecting the best. And like in the Battle of Bastogne, I'm expecting an ultimate turnaround. That's what the prophets are saying. Who do you believe? Are you believing the naysayers on the side who are whispering in your ear? Are you believing him? That's who I'm believing. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. I hope you've enjoyed the 15-minute rev today. I want to thank you for joining us. And I also want to thank our sponsors who sponsor us every show on Mondays and Fridays. Margaret Rowe, if you haven't ever checked out her website, the Heiress Vault. But go check out Margaret. Margaret's got some beautiful pieces of jewelry. Also, Smack Talk Radio. We always want to thank them for their sponsorship. And Faith Clicks. If you're into cool websites, go check out our website, Ezekielswill.com. She designed that. That's Karen Odd. She does a phenomenal job. Absolutely phenomenal job. She can help you. We have a lot of product over there as well for you. If you're looking for a church tribe or church home, email us at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. We do the revs on Mondays and Fridays. We also have a bunch of other things that we teach you. We have team calls on Monday Night Live. We also have Wednesday calls for veterans calls, and then our Friday team call where we train you how to operate in the operate more in the courts of heaven. You do have to have the grace to front run, because front running is stressful in and by itself. And once you find your tribe, that's half the equation, is finding your tribe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I will tell them that. Because a lot of the problems right now, I think, and the reason for church hopping, for one, is that people aren't finding their tribe. But for two, because when we do finally find our tribe, which is very difficult to do, is that people, they when they first connect to the leader and the anointing on that leader, it's really powerful. And so they're like, oh my gosh, things are moving and shaking. And they're, oh my gosh, everything's changing in my life. And everything they pray with me or for me works. And then all of a sudden, that's because your spirit man was so weak before you got there and it was depleted. So when you get nourished, when you're connected to the right tribe, your spirit man grows. It gets stronger, right? So we get into that place where we think, okay, now it's not like it was when I first started. Well, no, because you're learning to pull your own weight. You're learning to grow up and show up and to plug in your gifts and to become a contributing member of that family. So God's not having to do to you or for you like he did when you first got there. But this is where people get itchy ears and they want to be entertained. If they're not fully committed, that's when they get into church hopping, because they forget that you can't listen to too many voices and surround yourself with a whole lot of voices, because that's what creates the confusion. So if you never were committed from the get-go, you're going to be duped every time. God's looking for a committed bride in this hour. He's looking for loyalty, someone who's sold out to him no matter what. He's into us getting committed, getting plugged in, and keeping our appointments. So with that, I'll leave you with that. I hope to hear from you, though. But if I don't, have a great weekend. And then I'll look forward to seeing you Monday on the 15-Minute Rev, guys. You guys have a great rest of the day. I'll be checking in with you soon. Bye-bye.